Revelation chapter 4, please, in your Bibles. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 and read through to the end of the chapter, Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1, let's all hear the Lord's word. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. Would you bow with me just for a moment? Let's all seek the Lord and ask him to give us a word. Father in heaven, before we engage in the proclamation of thy word, we are aware of the great need we have of the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can enlighten the understanding, the only one who can empower thy servant to preach in a way that is true to Scripture, that is honoring to the triune God, and that makes this word a blessing to the hearer. Give now ears to hear, we pray, and hearts to believe what we hear, and give us those feet that will run in the way of thy commandments. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen and amen. My text this morning is found in verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I want to give special attention this morning to those words, Come up hither. Come up here. I'm going to take them out of their strict context. That's not my norm. The students in homiletics will assure you of that. But Once in a while, it's just good to come and look at something out of its context without leaving it entirely, but look for the message that the Lord would have for us at this hour. I want you to look at this appeal of Christ to John to come up hither as a call from Christ to his people to go higher. A call from Christ to his people to go higher. I mean higher in our knowledge and higher in our experience of the Lord. That's the need we all have. If we know him at all, that's the need we have, is to go higher. There's no doubt in my mind that it's the continual prayer of your minister, and every one of you will heed this call to go higher, higher spiritual ground, to come nearer to heaven's holiness and nearer to heaven's joy and nearer to bright heaven's sun, as the hymn writer put it. Certainly the Lord did not save us just so that we could eke out a meager existence as Christians, just get our nice, comfy jobs that will leave us with a comfortable nest egg when we retire and live for that and just then die in our old age. The blood of Christ was not shed to that end, I can assure you. Not just to do enough to get by. Not so that we would just kind of hobble through life as crippled Christians. He came that we might have life, and he said, I came that you might have it more abundantly. That's why he died, that we might have more abundant life. It's the will of God, says Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we live such a life that, I quote now, that an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's talking about entrance into heaven. An entrance into heaven is never to be for the child of God as something like, well, we got there by the skin of our teeth. Or if you prefer biblical language, we can take that of Paul, saved as by fire. What a contrast that is to having an abundant entrance into heaven when we die. There must be an abundant entrance, which means there must be one that's not so abundant. If the appeal is for us to do certain things and to live in a certain way that our entrance will be abundant, then it's obvious there's going to be not so abundant entrances into heaven. Oh, heaven will be there, yes, and we'll be in heaven, thank the Lord for. But you know, when you come to the end of your life, it's like being there with one, all you have is regrets. As you look at life in the rearview mirror, as it were, it's either going to be filled with one regret after another, that will be your focus, or it'll be looking with anticipation to this wonderful glory to be with Christ forever. And if we die full of regrets, indeed, if we live day in and day out, always regretting this and regretting that, and I should have done this and I should have done that, well, that will really come down to failing to pay heed to this call of Christ to come up here. Come up here. Get higher. The other's going to die with the mindset of the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's how he was facing death. Paul's great aim, you know, his great aim in life was to go higher, or he put it, to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his continual aim. That's what he lived for. And that, yes, he was the apostle. Yes, mightily blessed by God, but that's the same thing. He made an appeal to the church of Philippi. Live like this. Follow me in this. Imitate me, he said. You press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. Go higher. But what I want to deal with for the time we have remaining is wrapped up in those words, come up hither. Two of those words given to John were an invitation for him in the Spirit to come up to heaven that he might see things about the future that the Lord had purposed. They would be very suggestive, would they not, of this call of Christ to his people to get to higher ground in their spiritual life, to pursue it with greater earnestness than they are at the present, to come up and away from this world and all, and I underscore all, that would keep them earthbound. Because if it keeps you earthbound, it's not of God, it's of Satan. It is of the world. If it ties you closer to this world, it's not of God, it's of Satan. Period. It's the call of Isaiah in chapter 41 to mount up with wings as eagles, to soar and not just hop on the ground. Come up here, the Lord says to you. Get higher than you are just now. Get to higher ground. Get closer to heaven. Get closer to me. So, two points I want to leave with you on this call to go higher. We're going to look first at the reason for this call, and then secondly, the road that leads to higher ground. What is the reason for this call to go higher? Why do we need a command from Christ to do this, to get to higher ground? And why do we need to hear it continually? You think it would be a no-brainer, right? But all we need to hear it. Get higher. First, let me tell you why. Because he loves us. That's why this call is given. Because he loves us. This was John, the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's how he wrote about himself. Because he loves us. Love, you know, it's... There's a lot of misunderstanding, always has been, but it seems so much in our day of what real love is. Basically, love is the genuine concern for the welfare of the one you love. The genuine concern for their welfare. You want what is best for them. You want what will be the most beneficial for them. Even though sometimes it might hurt, but the hurt is always with their best interest in mind. You don't want anything that would harm them, since your great interest is to do them good. That's love. It's apart from these emotions that go like roller coasters in us, feelings. I'm not separating it from feelings, but at the heart of it, it's your welfare. It's your good that's in my heart. Christ knows that the higher we go in our experience of him, Christ knows that as we grow and go higher in our knowledge of his word and in our prayer life, then the holier we're going to be. And the holier we are, the happier we are. He really does want our happiness. He's out for our welfare. He's not out to harm us, to do us ill, always to do us good. And so when he says, come up here, get higher, it's with our good, our welfare in mind. And you know what, folks, the fact of the matter is the holier we are, the happier we are, and we are a holy and happy people, the more we are that, the more we glorify the Lord. And that's what you want, isn't it, right? I mean, that's what you all have learned in your catechism. My chief end in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so therefore, since that's what my chief end is, then I'm supposed to be after that. And I need to be holy and I need to be happy. The Lord knows that. We don't like to see people that we love in misery. It grieves us to see them do things that we know is going to hurt them. If we don't care about them, it's no water off our back. We just let it go. But if we love them, it grieves us to see them do things, to go down a path that we know is going to hurt them in the end. How often we've said to our children, different stages in life, it's set of different ways, I realize, but, you know, don't do that. Get away. As my daughter often hears say to her little one, ouchie, ouchie, those words mean, you do that, it's going to bring pain. Those words change as we grow older, but the warning is always there. It grieves us to see people that we love go down paths and do things that we know will be detrimental to them. That's why Christ is calling you today and calling me to go higher in our spiritual lives. It's because He loves us. His love for us moves Him to call us to higher ground, whether it be through the preacher, whether it be through friends, whether it be through enemies, whether it be through crosses and through losses, the call is always, come up here. Get closer to me and get farther from this world. This is your peace, the Lord says, and that's what I want for you. This is your joy, the Lord says. This is your safety. This is your usefulness. Go higher. Don't be content with where you are. Never think that you have arrived. Always get higher. Moreover, because Christ loves us, He wants us nearer and nearer to Himself. And so He says, come up here. I don't know that we've ever gotten our heads around that one. If we really grasp how strong the desire that Christ has for us to be near Him. How much He enjoys your company. How much He looks forward to your fellowship. I'll tell you one thing. He looks far more forward to your praying than you do. It's His delight. It reminded me of the Song of Solomon when he spoke, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He wanted her to be near him. Not only does Christ call us to go higher because of His love for us, but in the second place, because the church needs Christians who go higher. The church needs ministers who go higher. I think it was last week, I can't remember. It's kind of going to blur these days, but last week or the week before, Pastor Tomasin, he didn't say it in these words, but what he was saying is an old, old truth. Normally, the people in the pews don't go higher than the man in the pulpit. There are some, of course, who've been saved for many years, have grown a long time to grow in their experience of the Lord, but by and large, that's a good rule of thumb. Ministers, the church needs ministers who go higher. The church needs elders and deacons who go higher. It needs Sunday school teachers who are going higher. Husbands and wives who are going higher in the things of God together. Moms and dads who, as moms and dads, are going higher in the things of the Lord, that they might be enabled to live before their children as a mom and dad who are walking near the Lord and not at a distance from Him. Young people, young Christians who profess to be saved, to go higher and not be worried about whether they think they're cool or not. That's the word my generation. I don't know what it is in this one. But it doesn't change, you know. It's that cry for acceptance. You don't want to be thought you're an oddball. The fact is, we are strange. We're strangers in this world. And this generation needs to see young people who actually are going higher with God. They don't care what the world thinks. The call is there. The church needs it. Like never before, this church, I don't mean this one, this church in this land, this church throughout the world, needs to see Christians who are living a deeper spiritual life, who are getting more earnest about holy living, and not less earnest, not backing off because iniquity is abounding, not backing off because you know so-and-so does this and therefore it's okay for me to do this. Well, that's the general flow of how the church is going, so you know I'm okay with it. What utter nonsense is that? Believers who are becoming more serious about the prayer closet, getting higher. Surely you see, as the individual believers go higher, then the church goes higher. There's a third reason this call to go higher comes to the Lord's people, because the world needs to see Christians who go higher. The world. Now, the world has never had any time for the people of God, but there are still people in this pagan world who belong to the Lord, who are going to come to Christ, and if we're going to be an influence for them, an influence for good, and see them brought to the Lord, then we need to walk before this world who live as a people who are going to heaven and live not as a people who are living for the world, just like them. They've got to see the difference. They've got to see there's a difference. I'm not walking like you. I'm not talking like you. I have different pursuits and different interests. I'm not trying to blend in and be a chameleon so that you think, you know, folks, the thing that you need the most is to stand out. I don't mean be rude and in a nonsensical way. I mean to stand out just because you're walking separate from the world and not trying to blend. The world needs to see that. We're not like them. That's a good thing. It's the way that men will see that we've been with Jesus. There will be an aroma about us. You know what I mean? An aroma? I don't mean a literal smell, you know, but the sweetness, the graciousness. Something different. And we will take from men excuses, even though they're vain excuses, why they don't want anything to do with Christianity and with the church. We certainly don't want to give the enemies of the Lord cause to blaspheme. But as Paul told Titus, they will be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Christ calls us to go higher because we are the light of this world and we are the salt of the earth. You're not going to shine very brightly. You're not going to be very salty if we don't go higher. There's a fourth reason this call is given. That's because we're in danger if we don't go higher. You're in danger. Surely you know that, don't you? You've been there, haven't you? You've been there when you've just backed off, right? You just backed off in the prayer time. You just backed off in the reading of scriptures. Oh, you spent far, far more time in front of the television or in front of your computer or on Facebook or whatever the social media is. And as you did that, things just began to dwindle in your life. Hunger for the Word of God began to wane. Interest in getting alone with God began to weaken. Yeah, you've been there and done that. We all have. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It's when we grow careless about going higher and getting nearer Christ and getting nearer His cross that we become earthbound. We get stuck in the miry clay. And coldness creeps over us. Your interest that you had in heavenly things, in the souls of men, in the life of the church, in going down a path of usefulness in the work of God, those things began to wane. But your worldly interest increases. What you talk about changes. What you want to talk about changes. You are ready to talk about sports and the games and whatever it might be, and the politics, and COVID-19, and the pandemic, and the politicians, and on it goes. But just to sit down with your spouse or with your children, with brothers and sisters in Christ, and just to, the Lord's been telling me this lately from His Word. Or, you know, here's the struggle I've been going through. It just wanes away. And the Lord knows it. And He comes on a regular basis and says, come up here. You get away from that. What were you thinking? What in the world were you thinking? Do you think you can actually have a foot in the world and a foot in heaven and walk in fellowship with me closely? It's not going to happen. When we try that, we may go to church quite regularly, be there in the prayer meeting and all the meetings that are there, but we'll be like the church of Sardis. We'll have a name that we're alive, but in reality we're dead. Then how empty and how miserable life becomes. We are intended to soar like eagles, but we live bound to earth by chains because we've ignored this call from Christ to go higher. That's the reasons, by and large, for the call. Get to the higher mountain. Go up. Rise up, my beloved, the Lord says. Now, what about, in the last place, the road? The road that leads to higher ground. Well, you'll actually find three things in verse 1 that are suggestive of the truths that you and I must believe, and the road we must take in order to get higher in our experience of God and deeper in this relationship that we have with the Lord. First is, there must be a heavenward look. John says, after this, I looked, and behold. Those words mark John's second vision in Revelation, a vision that is taken up with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in chapters 4 and 5. Note the words, I looked. It is as John was looking upward, heavenward, that he sees an open door and he hears Christ call him, come up here. Now let's just stop off for a moment here and think about John's predicament when this happened. He was in exile. shipped off to an island called Patmos for the cause of the gospel. He's a man in his 90s. You know what you did when you went to Patmos in exile? You worked the mines. Can you imagine a 90-year-old man plus working the mines? He's cut off. He's cut off from the Lord's people. The ministry that he enjoyed for 40-plus years has been denied him. I would say those were some difficult circumstances to be in. An old man in exile working mines. But those very, I would have to say, unwanted and unpleasant circumstances did not prevent John from setting his heart upon heavenly things. He could say back in chapter 1 that in spite of his surroundings, how bad it was, his deep affliction, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He makes note that it was the Lord's day. He makes note that even though he was in exile on some island, he had not forgotten this is the Lord's day. And it was a day of worship, a day that was set aside for his mind to be and his heart to be upon things heavenly. And that's where he was. And it was in that place on that day with his thoughts toward heaven and his God that he hears the voice and he has the vision. And the voice says, John, come up here. He wasn't able to meet with the Lord's people in a normal place of worship. He was in exile. But that did not prevent him from setting his mind on the things of God and pursuing the Lord. And as he seeks the Lord, he finds himself in the Spirit. He was certainly lifted to a high experience and enjoyment of God. The simple point of application I want to make in all of this is that if you and if I are going to go higher, if our love for Jesus Christ is going to deepen, and we don't end up like the Ephesian church leaving our first love, if it's going to deepen, if our faith is going to increase, and who, which Christian here would say, my faith doesn't need to increase? If our likeness to Christ is going to become more apparent, so that when people do see us, they see Jesus. And not the devil. As has sometimes been true in our behavior. If our desire for and our exercise of a life of prayer is going to grow, if our compassion for the lost around us is going to abound, and abound to the point where we will not sit idle but feel what something that we can do for the lost. And if our knowledge of God's Word is going to deepen, then the Lord is calling upon you and upon me to look heavenward. Or if I may borrow the words from Colossians 3, to set our affection, our mind upon things above and not on things on the earth. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things that take up our time and our energy and our worries, these temporal things, the Lord will take care of those. They'll be added to the life. The Lord's calling upon us to be spiritually minded. To take the words of the apostle in Hebrews, we're called upon to be strangers and pilgrims, right? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth because why? We seek a better country. And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. The more we look heavenward, the higher we go in heavenliness. to get more grace, look up, not down, not around, but look up. To enjoy life as you are meant to enjoy it by the Lord, look up. To experience more growth, look up. And there is no other way. There is no shortcut to this. Sometimes I think that's the mistake, the mindset that's an error that people have when they want revival. They want an instant fix. I would love revival. I've read enough books about revival that, man, I would love to see the Holy Ghost come down and revive, but those are extraordinary moves of God. It's when we're living the ordinary, that we need the continual heavenward look. Let me tell you, folks, the world is not your friend. The world is not your friend. Don't ever treat it like it's your friend. It's your enemy. The world is your enemy. It's not to be your source of entertainment. Isn't it strange that I dare say if some stranger walked into your home and began to curse like a sailor and take God's name in vain, you would stop them in their tracks. Not in this house, sir. How come there's no difficulty watching movies or whatever and it's full of cursing? God's name is taken in vain left and right and we don't blink an eye. How do you get around that? That it's okay. Oh, they're just acting. Who cares if it's acting? How do we get around that? The music we listen to, the material that we read, it's just constantly inundation. And if we're going to overcome the world, which we are called to do, thank God, then there's got to be a heavenward look. We don't expect to go deeper. Don't expect to go higher. When you walk with a world like that, it's just not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The road is a heavenward look. Secondly, it involves an open door. And behold, a door was opened in heaven. Literal rendering, John saw a door standing open. It was open. It was not shut. When John saw that book, you remember, it was closed, sealed with seven seals. No man could open it. He wept, but his tears were stopped when Christ prevailed to open the book. So the door that John saw was not shut. It was open. He didn't hear a voice that said, "Come up hither," and saw a door that was closed. He heard the voice that said, "Come up hither." And when he heard the voice, he looked heavenward, and there was a door standing open, which means he had access into that heavenly place. He had access to that one who was speaking to him, saying, "Come up here." It was open to him. It was not shut. It's a truth you must believe and lay hold of and plead in prayer. Going higher, as we've been looking at it this morning, is something that you can experience. A deep relationship with the Lord, a prayer life that is not only consistent, but that brings you to pray with boldness and faith and confidence and passion. That's open to you as a Christian. It's not closed. A life of childlike faith in God and His Word is available to any and every Christian who will heed this call, come up here. A life of abundant joy, of great calm in the face of violent storms, of being clearly led in the will of God. Just go on down the list. It's all accessible to you. I'm afraid, and I believe my fear is well grounded, that many, many Christians have bought into the devil's lie that this door to this kind of Christian life is not open to them. It's only for a certain few. But the voice that is in the back of your mind right now as you've been listening, you know, it's just not going to happen for me. You've suffered so many setbacks spiritually. Just because you have tried and failed many times, and just because you have made so many resolutions that you've never kept, just because you have a boatload of besetting sins and difficult circumstances, does not mean that a deep and close relationship with the Lord is impossible. Impossible is the devil's word. With God, all things are possible. Have you forgotten that we have been saved by grace? Free, pure, boundless, matchless, astounding, amazing grace. Unmerited favor that you could never work up, that you could never earn. The free love of God, the free exercise of His power given to you to save you from your sin. You were saved by grace. It doesn't matter how bad of a wretch you were. I remember reading the story years ago of Lady Huntington, 18th century, big supporter of George Whitefield. And she was, you know, upper class. And the ladies were in her house having tea on a Monday morning. And they were, you know, you can just envision them and their dress and their teacups in their hands. They were discussing the sermon that George Whitefield had preached the night before. And one of the ladies was just so astounded. Do you know what Mr. Whitefield said? He said that God will take the devil's castaways. And they were astonished. Lady Huntington said, "Wait a moment, Mr. Whitefield is upstairs. Let me ask him." George Whitefield comes down the stairs and says, "Mr. Whitefield, these ladies say that last night you said that the devil receives the devil's castaway. Christ receives the devil's castaway. Can you explain that?" He said, "Surely." He went on to tell them the story of as he was preaching last night, there was a prostitute headed for the river to drown herself in suicide. As she walked past the church, warm weather, doors open, she heard me say, "Christ receives the devil's castaways." And she stopped and she came in and the Lord saved her. That was you. That was me. He receives the cast-offs. So what in the world would make you think if the grace that enabled you to be brought from darkness into light, that would save a soul that was dead in sin, somehow it's not powerful enough to enable you to go higher? in spite of your failures and your struggles with the flesh and your inconsistencies and your past history. Satan has a heyday peddling lies. And we fall for them over and over again. Well, my God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Here's an open door. I don't think I'm pushing the symbolism of Revelation too far when I say here's a picture of Christ. He himself says, I am the door. Christ is this way of access to God. Christ is the door to higher ground. It's through Christ that we overcome the besetting sin, that we obtain greater faith. It's through Christ that we find whatever we need, because in Him is all the riches of glory, and we get it from Him. So why do we give in to Satan's suggestion that we're consigned? I'm saying this because I've been there and done it. We're consigned for some reason to a mediocre Christian life whereby we just get through. Why are we so prone to believe that and settle down content with that when Almighty God has called us to come up and to soar in the heavenlies? I'm afraid that much of the reason lies in the fact that our look and our mind is just too much earthward and not heavenward. Even having said that, let me point out that John is not the one who opened the door of heaven. It was Christ who opened it up, and Christ is the one speaking to John and calling out to him, come up here. Before a man will ever seek and can ever seek to go higher, Christ first must seek the man. If Christ doesn't do the seeking, the man won't do the seeking, the believer won't do the seeking. But you see, this morning you want to know what's happening. I'm just a clay pot who said, Lord, I need to know what to preach to these people. I ask God for clear direction. Got clear direction. So that means this morning, as a messenger of Jesus Christ, He is calling you. He's calling everyone who takes His name. He's calling you to go higher. And telling you that you can. Because He is the door. And it's open. I sought the Lord, but afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of Thee. It's the Lord. Just take your eyes off yourself for a moment. Just forget about all your failures for a second. And set your eyes upon the Christ of glory. When He says to you this morning, come up here. Rise up and come away. There's things you haven't even seen yet that I want to show you. There are sights of Me, of My power, of My glory, of My goodness and My greatness that are waiting to be seen and enjoyed. Hearing such a call, why in the world would you want to stay bound to the earth? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a seeking of God that you and I must do. If you seek me, you'll find me, he said, if you search for me with all your heart. That's true. But oh, he wants to be sought, and he wants to be found. There's a third thing, and the last thing, on this road to go higher, and that's a gracious voice. John writes, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. That's the third element that brought John higher. He calls it the first voice. He's not meaning that this was the first among other voices that he heard. It means that it was the same voice that he heard at the first. That is back in chapter 1. And that voice also sounded, if you'll read there, like a trumpet. So this voice he's hearing is the voice of Christ. It's hearing the voice of Christ that day that made everything different, that changed it all for John. So I can make some points of application here, can I, once I know that. It's the voice of Christ. Listen, folks, I'm not a charismatic. I am not listening for audible voices. But I tell you to this day, Christ speaks as clearly today through this book right here as you'll ever need to hear. So if I'm going to go higher, if you and I will go higher, it must always come through hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing Christ speak to us through the Scriptures. There can be no spiritual growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ apart from just being alone with the Lord and alone with His Word. Years ago, when I was young, the preacher said, this book will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book. You've got to study His Word for doctrine, and you've got to read His Word for direction. But above and beyond that, you and I, if we're going to go higher, we must hear His Word speak to us in devotion. Gain knowledge of doctrine. Yes, look to the Lord for His Word for direction in your life or anything, but my, it's the heart must become engaged. It's the heart reading of the Word. It's the true hearing of the Word that makes the difference in you and I going higher. How long has it been since you've talked with the Lord and the Lord has talked to you from His book? How long has it been since you've sat with an open Bible and say, Lord, speak to me and show me wondrous things out of Thy law? You want to go higher. It won't be done without hearing the voice of Christ speak to you from His Word. This call to go higher, this voice, was of Christ the King. It came with great clarity, like a trumpet. He understood. It came with great authority. It was the voice of the great King, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It was a voice that came with great desire, because the King is saying to him, I want you up here, John, by me, because there's things I want to teach you, things I want to show you. Come up here by me. And that same voice is speaking to you this morning. Clearly, come up here, come up higher. It comes with the divine authority. There's no wiggle room here. If all you're listening to is the voice of the preacher, then you have missed the voice of Christ. But if you honestly believe that the Lord brings his messengers with his messages, and this is Christ talking to you today very pointedly. It's the voice of the King. Now, there's only one thing to do when the King speaks. I have no opposition. I'm not going to resist. This is the King's will. This is what the King wants. And I'm good with that. Is that what you want? Let's be honest. Is that what you want? Is the voice of the King. If it's my voice only that you've heard, you'll walk out those doors and it'll be the same old, same old. Aren't you tired of the same old, same old? Isn't there something better? Isn't there a place higher and nearer? Isn't there more usefulness? Isn't there more holiness? Isn't there more joy? Isn't there more comfort? Isn't there more confidence in Jesus Christ? Surely there is. And the King says, come here. Come up. Well, what are you going to do? Any changes? Any changes? What's got to be different? Is there something coming between me and my King, me and my Lord, my Christ? Is there something that's just pulling me earthward? It's pulling me down. It's not influencing me for good. It's actually hurting me. But I want to go higher. See, this is a call for change. God knows we need it. May the Lord, by His Spirit, be pleased to give it. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, as we come to the end of the preaching of the Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to preach. We know that He is the one that gives ears to hear. He is the one that enables the heart to believe and the will to run in the way of God. Grant, O Holy Ghost, those very things to Thy people this day. We thank Thee that there's higher ground to get to. We thank Thee that Christ is the access to it. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Blessed be His name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.